Well, I really appreciate those who filled the pulpit while I was gone. Thank you, Seth. Thank you, Eric. And I don't know who did Wednesday night, but whoever did that, thank you. Oh, Greg. Greg did that. Thank you. I caught him on the way out to the airport and asked him, and he looked shocked, but he did it. I'm glad. I just kind of had to make a quick decision to take off, and sorry I wasn't able to notify you too much more than that. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. We're dealing with this Sermon on the Mount, continuing with that. And we're getting to the end of a section that deals with things that we do in private that help us with our relationship with the Lord. Started off talking about alms and giving and how we're really not to be doing this for show or to be doing it from our hearts and not making a big deal out of it, not expecting accolades for it, but to be giving it because we desire to please the Lord and worship God. And then we dealt with prayer and how that is to be done, as the ladies sang today, in the secret place, and something where we close the door and we shut our hearts up and alone with God, and we share our needs and we praise Him, and we glorify Him even as we do that. We went through that prayer that many people call the Lord's Prayer, and how to pray, and how to not have vain repetitions and that sort of thing. We dealt with that a couple of weeks ago. Today we're getting into a section that deals with something that I think, in many ways, I don't think I've ever heard a message on it. And I've heard a lot of sermons in my life. It's something that, because of an overemphasis in the part of other religions, sometimes our faith tends to ignore this matter. And it's something very key to having a close relationship with the Lord, something we should all consider as we look at this. The Lord told us to do this, and so we need to look at the matter of fasting. Here the Lord Jesus talks on the matter of fasting. You know, again, in our day, we live in a day when we have plenty of food in the cupboard, you know, and we always seem to have snacks around, you know, while you're sitting there watching TV and with the chips and whatever else. And we don't understand the idea of being hungry. We don't understand the concept in many ways. We think if we've gone 2 hours without something, we've gone too long, you know, sometimes. But this matter of fasting is something that the Lord expects of us. Hard to know how to implement it, but let's go over some things in Scripture and see what it has to say. Verse 16 of Matthew chapter 6. Moreover, when you fast, notice that. Not if you fast or you should fast, but when you fast. So it's something that the Lord somewhat expects of us. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Just as those who give for show have their reward, and there's no reward from the Father, those who pray before others to get their reward on earth, but they get no reward in heaven. Those who fast and make a show of it, they lose their reward. Verse 17, but thou, when thou fastest, again, when, not if, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture, and help us as we look at it, that we'll understand how we are to implement this as believers. And guide my thoughts, guide my thinking as I prepare this and as I present this today. Lord, help us to examine our own hearts and see how we should implement this in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. G. Campbell Morgan made a comment regarding this passage of Scripture that I think is very appropriate. He said, is it not time that we in the Christian church talked a little less about self-denial and lived it more? You know, we talk about sacrificing for the Lord. We talk about giving our lives to the Lord. We talk about all these things we want to do for the Lord. And we think, you know, cleaning the church is sacrifice, or being at church is sacrifice. You know, sometimes we say, well, it's Sunday, I've got to go to church. We think that's a hard thing. I hope all of you have the same kind of enthusiasm about church that I saw as these kids shot across here and bounded out to children's church this morning. They're excited about it. Couldn't wait to get back there. I don't know if they have cookies. We're not doing that here today. But whatever reason, they're excited about going to children's church. I hope that you're excited about being in God's house. Don't look at that as a sacrifice. We really do have it easy as believers, don't we? We really do. There's nobody outside waiting to shoot us when we walk outside for coming to church today, as there are in other places. I got word this week about over in Pakistan. There are believers over there this week. This week, 27 believers' homes were burned because they worshiped the Lord. 27 homes burned. We don't run into that. We don't sacrifice. We really have it easy as believers. G. Campbell Morgan put it this way. He said, first, fasting ceases. Then prayer ceases. For a man cannot pray unless he fasts, and then alms will cease. Now ask yourself, have any of those three things ceased in your life? I have a feeling that in most of our lives, the idea of fasting is something that's never really even occurred to us. We haven't done it. Again, I think sometimes it's a bit of an overreaction. Why would it be? I remember walking through a grocery store a few years back, and this young boy was walking down the aisle, and I saw him. I said, son, I said, you got dirt on your head. And I went up to wash it off, and his dad came over and said, don't touch that. Oh, what is that? Ash Wednesday. I forgot. I didn't realize it. And so sometimes if we've come out of a Roman Catholic background, or we've come out of a background where they do that sort of thing, we kind of overreact and say, well, that's a works thing, and so they're trying to earn favor with God, and so we just don't do that. Well, I'm not saying we should implement Ash Wednesday. That's not what I'm saying at all. And I'm sure not saying we should walk around with dirt on our heads. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying we should consider this thing. Because fasting is something that was part of the old Jewish way of living. And it is something that Jesus says when you do it. So it seems evident that he just expects that we're going to. That we're going to be willing to sacrifice and to do this thing of fasting. Now, in the Bible, when did people fast? Let's just look at a few things, if you would. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. This is the only required fast for the Jews in all of their religion. In Luke chapter 16, I'm just going to kind of look through this. You can just kind of peruse the chapter as I make these comments. I've got some information out of some of my resources here. And Luke chapter 16 is talking about the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement, it was a day of affliction, the day that the children of Israel afflicted themselves as they dealt with the matter of sin. It was a once-a-year event. And the Lord spake unto Moses, verse 1, after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear upon the cloud, in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place, with a young bullock for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with the linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats for a sin offering, and one ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord and another lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat. shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bullock as a sin offering. And there's all these things that go on, all these things that go on. The idea is that this was a day when Israel as a nation dealt with their sins. And they placed the guilt upon the head of the one goat, and they let that goat free out into the wilderness. The other one they killed, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. He was the high priest that on this special day had to be properly bathed and attired. We look at that in verse 4. A bull was offered for his sin offerings. The goats were placed there. One was set free. One was to die for the nation. After the offering of the bull, a censer of fire and incense was presented in the holy place. And the blood of the bull was then sprinkled on the mercy seat. It was the one day a year, when only the high priest was able to walk directly into the Holy of Holies and meet with God there. All these things happened. And the children of Israel then during that day, while this one special day, and if the high priest did not go in properly, they would have to take the cord that they tied around his ankle and pull him out because he would die in the presence of the Lord. So the children of Israel, all of the Israelites fasted and prayed that day as the high priest went into the Holy of Holies. It was a time where they were setting aside that day to recognize their need to deal with their sin. It was as a time of national mourning over their sin and dealing with things. So the idea of fasting goes along with it. It does talk about afflicting your soul. That's the idea of fasting on that day. I think it's in verse, 30? Let's see, what verse did I put that in? Actually, let's go to Leviticus 23 and explains it a little bit more. Leviticus 23, verse 26. Leviticus 23:26. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of the 7th month shall there be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you. And ye shall afflict your souls. That means to fast and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And ye shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. And whatsoever soul it shall be not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. So you see, they took this very seriously. But in the Old Testament, it is the only required time of fasting. They call it today Yom Kippur. You hear the Jews talk about that day. However, there were other times when the children of Israel fasted. The Bible tells us that they fasted. Let's see if I can give you a list of some of these other times when they fasted. They fasted several times. They fasted after the, when they observed the On the fast of the 4th month, they kept the 17th day of Tammuz, the anniversary of the capture of Jerusalem by the Chaldeans. This was a fast day. Then on the fast of the fifth month, they commemorated the burning of the city and the temple. It's recorded in Jeremiah 52. Then they fasted over the anniversary of the murder of Gedaliah, one of their leaders. Then they fasted to commemorate the beginning of the siege of the holy city when Nebuchadnezzar took over Jerusalem. And then there was the day of fasting that Esther proclaimed in Esther chapter 4, when Haman had said that he was going to destroy the Jews. And they commemorated these feasts, these fasts every day. We think of feasts, that's what we think of as a celebration. They looked at a fast as a special day. But they tended to carry it a little bit too far. They carried it way too far. Look at your Bibles in Luke chapter 18, and we'll see some other things that they did. On the 2nd and 5th day of the week, the Pharisees carried it out to the point that they fasted twice a week. Every week. All the time. And they fasted. In Luke chapter 18, we see this parable that Jesus gives, and you've heard of it. He spake in verse 9, Luke chapter 18, verse 9, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Interesting. Who was he praying to? He was praying to himself. God wasn't paying attention. God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men, as are extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. This was a Pharisaic ritual that they observed twice a week. They did it on the second day of the week and the fifth day of the week to commemorate the first time when Moses went up to the mountain to get the Old Testament law. And then on the fifth day, when he went up the second time to get it, after he had destroyed it, when he came down and caught the children of Israel doing their idolatrous dance at the bottom of the Mount Sinai. So this was going on. And these Pharisees were carrying on this ritual. They were doing it on the second and fifth day of every week. It's really interesting that in Jewish tradition, that was also the day when everybody went to market. And these Pharisees, what they would do is they would leave their beard kind of disheveled, and they would wear old clothes, and they would put ashes on themselves, and they would try to make themselves look holy as they paraded through the streets. And they turned what was a special time of communion with God, and seeking God's will, and sacrificing so that you could show God personally your earnestness about a situation, and turn it into a public display of hypocrisy. You know, the worst actors in the world are those who pretend to be spiritual. You know what I'm talking about? They all week long live a certain way, and then you see them come to church and they dress up properly and stand properly and wear the right clothes and turn their language into something that sounds holy and that sort of thing. I'm reminded of a time when my pastor illustrated this by saying he went to visit one of his church members one time. He didn't know it. He was new at the church and he didn't know it. And this particular church member had a problem with smoking cigarettes. And the pastor, unannounced, knocked on the door and went to this man's house, and immediately the man was standing there like this. And the pastor was watching and observing, and he was talking how much he was so appreciative of the pastor being there, how much he loved his messages, and how much he'd been reading his Bible that morning and all this sort of thing. The entire time there's a trail of smoke coming up behind his head. And my pastor said he talked and talked and talked to that man until he finally went, ouch! Did his life burn right down to his fingertips? And his hypocrisy was exposed. These Pharisees were really good at showing off how spiritual they were. They weren't real. They gave for self-glory. They prayed for the praise of men. Now, they prayed with themselves, as we just read. And they fasted to appear spiritual. But if it's done right, if it's done properly, it is honoring to God. Looking here, if you see in the Old Testament, I'm not going to go to all these passages. I'll let you look this up on your own. But there was a time. You remember Moses went up to the Mount Sinai to get God's law. And he was up there for 40 days. And neither ate nor drank. And then he came back down from the mountain and caught the children of Israel worshiping and dancing before the golden calf. And he broke the tables of stone. And he disciplined the children of Israel. And then he went into immediately another 40-day fast. It's the longest fast in all of Scripture. It's interesting. It's also a time when Moses was meeting with God face to face, and God miraculously sustained him. It's another 40-day fast in Scripture. You remember in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus Christ came up from being baptized, he comes up out of the water, and immediately the Lord sends him out into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and for 40 days he went without eating. Now, he may have drank water, but he went for 40 days without eating. And during that entire time, he was communing with the Lord. What was he doing? He was preparing. This was the beginning of his earthly ministry. And he was preparing everything. His heart, his mind, his soul, his relationship with God. Making sure everything was right before he began his public ministry. We have records in the Bible of Samson, Samuel, Hannah praying, fasting, praying earnestly that God would give her a child, and then that she would give that child back to the Lord. We have fasting of David after he sinned with Bathsheba. And you remember he sinned, and then Bathsheba became with child. And he was warned that that child would die, the child was sick, and the entire time that the child was sick, David fasted and prayed and asked God to spare the child's life and grieved over the fact that he had sinned with Bathsheba and had Uriah killed. And as soon as the child died, he got up and cleaned himself up and went back and had a regular meal. Because he'd had his time with the Lord and God had answered him. Not the way he wanted him to answer, but he recognized it was an answer from God. David fasted over the murder of a man named Abner. He fasted in Psalm 35. Look over there for just a minute. I think this is an interesting verse. In Psalm chapter 35, where David fasts. In Psalm chapter 35 and verse 13. He talks about, let's go up to verse 11. False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into my own bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. David was a man who walked with God and was so burdened sometimes for the lost. For those who didn't know God. For those who hated him. And he prayed and fasted that God would work in their hearts and turn them. Elijah prayed after fasted at Mount Carmel. Ezra prayed and fasted as the children of Israel were returning to rebuild the temple and get things going back in after the captivity. Nehemiah prayed and fasted as he considered God's will regarding returning to build the walls of Jerusalem. Esther fasted. We talked about that when she learned about the destruction that Haman planned for the Jews. Daniel fasted. Great Daniel. Why did he fast? He fasted because he had been reading the Word of God and he'd come to a place in Scripture that he didn't understand and he really wanted to understand it. And he prayed and fasted that God would open his eyes and help him to understand it. And God did. Anna fasted in the New Testament as she waited for the coming of the Messiah. John the Baptist fasted. Paul fasted. Many times Paul fasted as he went from place to place in his ministry. Sometimes even the worst rascals in Scripture fasted, and yet we as Christians don't do it. You remember Ahab? King Ahab? One of the worst kings Israel ever had. And when he was confronted about his sin in 1 Kings chapter 21, his response was to fast and to pray for forgiveness. And the Bible says, even wicked Ahab had judgment turned away from him and deferred to the next generation because of that. Do you remember the people of Jonah's day? Jonah walks through the city of Nineveh. He hated those people. They were wicked, vile people. They tortured God's people. Jonah knew they were so bad, he didn't even want to go. You know, he got into the boat and said he wanted it. He went the other way and he ended up in the belly of a fish. And the fish herped him up on the seashore and he walks through smelling like seaweed and whatever else was in that fish's belly. He walks through the city, not a message of grace. Not a message of hope. Not a message of salvation. He walks through the city and he just hollers out, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That for a message. And the king heard the message. And without being told, he announced throughout the city of Nineveh, let's go to fasting and praying and asking God to turn this thing around. And the people turned to God. And fasting was a part of it. There are many times in Scripture when we have been told to do so, and yet we do not. Let's see if I can find here. What are some appropriate times? By the way, we don't have to observe the Day of Atonement anymore. You know why? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10 says Jesus Christ was sacrificed once for all. So we as believers are not required to continue that day. We're not required to keep any of those old Jewish feasts. We're not required to keep any of those Jewish fasts. We're not required to do those things. That's all been taken care of by the cross. So it's not a requirement. So lest you think that I'm saying a legalistic thing and I'm saying you should do this or you're in trouble with God. No, no, no. That's not the message today. The message is that there may be times when it is appropriate. Went through some of the commentators. John MacArthur lists sometimes. Fasting is appropriate during times of sorrow. I mentioned that. David, as his baby was sick and he was grieving over his sin. There's times of fasting when we're overwhelmed by danger. Jehoshaphat proclaimed a national feast fast in Judah when they were threatened with attacks from the Moabites and the Ammonites in 2 Chronicles 20. Esther, the same thing. There was a time of danger when Haman in Esther 4:16 wanted to wipe out the Jews. Ezra fasted because they were leaving the captivity and heading back to Jerusalem, and they'd been given great wealth to rebuild the temple with, and no guards to guard the wealth as they traveled through a land that was full of thieves and those who would take their wealth. And he prayed and asked God, "For I was ashamed to request from the king troops and horsemen to protect us from the enemy on the way, because we'd said to the king, 'The hand of our God is favorably disposed to all who seek him by his power and his anger.' But his power and his anger are against all those who forsake him. So we fasted and sought our God concerning this matter, and he listened to our entreaty." In Ezra chapter 8, verse 22. Penitence is accompanied by fasting. David sinned. He fasted. People of Nineveh. Sometimes it has to do with the setting apart of someone for a special task or ministry. Look in Acts chapter 13 real quickly. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verses 2 and 3. "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.' And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." Paul and Barnabas were set aside for the first missionary endeavor to go out into the world to preach the gospel. And the people at the church there fasted before they made that decision. Look in Acts chapter 14 and verse 23. Just a few more pages back there. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 23. "And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed." As they set apart leaders for their churches, they went into prayer and fasting. It won't be long. In October, we'll be doing that again here in our church. And we'll be setting aside some elders, some deacons, some leadership in our church. I'm not going to require it. I'm not going to force it on you. But I will ask you to carefully consider this. Because as we select leadership in our church, and as we prepare for that time, we need to be sure that we are putting aside all of our personal prejudices and our popularity mindsets and our typical American vote for the guy I like mindset, and ask for the mind of God on this thing. The future of our church depends upon it. The blessing of God upon our church, the wisdom and decisions that we make regarding outreach and inreach and all the other ministries of our church are at stake. It's important that we look at this seriously. And there's something about setting aside a time I'm not saying 40 days. I'm not saying 80 days. I'm not saying a week. I'm not saying what amount of time. I'm just telling you that it's something that you and I as believers need to consider. Some of you may be considering job changes. Some of you are concerned about your children. Some of you have been come under conviction over some sin in your life, and you're wanting to get victory over it. Some of you have health concerns, and I think of other things that come to our minds. And I wonder if God just would not honor the idea of us taking some time to skip a meal, and instead of stuffing our faces, spend that hour in prayer, seeking the mind of God. Be careful. You need to be wise. If you have health issues, you've got to take care of that. But in many ways, it's good for us. Most of us could afford to miss a meal once in a while. Ultimately, how are we supposed to do this when we do it? Look back in Matthew chapter 6. How do you do it? When you do it. Verse 17. When you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, groom like you normally do, clean up, don't cover yourself in ashes, sackcloth, and all that sort of thing. Don't do anything to draw attention to yourself. Don't go around looking, oh, I'm hungry. Don't go about that. Act as though the day is going normally. This is not for other people. This is for you. Verse 18. Anoint your head, wash your face, that you appear not unto men to fast. Nobody should know. Again, it's one of those things. I can't check on you. I'm so glad that's not my job. It's not my job to say, are you doing this? Before I forget, let me just remind you. We're almost one-fourth through the year. How's your Bible, reading through the Bible, coming? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Just a reminder. But that's not my job to force you, to check on you, to give you a report card. When you fast, you talk to the Lord about it. Should I do this? Ask God, should you do it? If He impresses upon your heart, do it. But that's not for anybody else to know. Verse 18, but unto thy Father which is in secret, between you and God, take it to the Lord. Approach it seriously. It is a spiritual thing. And the Bible says, the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee. Some say that word openly doesn't need to be there. Others say it does. Regardless, if you go back in the Scriptures and you look at those who fasted, Moses got answers, Hannah got answers, Esther got peace, Ezra got answers, Nehemiah got answers, Daniel got answers, Jesus got answers, Paul got answers. Ministries flourished because people were serious about this walk with the Lord. G. Campbell Morgan, when I mentioned that at the beginning of the message, said, fasting usually is the first thing to go. Then prayer slips away. Then giving slips away. All things that nobody's supposed to know about. But God does. How's your walk with the Lord? Is there something that needs to change? Talk to the Lord about it. We want God's blessing in our lives, don't we? I want God's blessing upon my personal life. I want God's blessing on my family. I want God's blessing on our church. I wonder if Americans got serious about this, if He wouldn't bring victory to our nation once again. For Scripture clearly says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven and hear their prayers. Talk to the Lord about it. Commit yourself to it. Act as He directs you. Father, thank You for this reminder from Your Word that is often neglected in American society. Often neglected in our independent fundamental churches. Help us to seek your mind on this and how we should respond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.